Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
You know what? This one might be my choice.
Really?
So we've been doing the nominations every day for the new Monday morning 6 a.m. song.
Uh-huh.
We've got our Friday one. But we've been doing Monday morning ones. I like that one.
You do?
I kind of do.
Really?
Who is that? Fever?
We have no idea.
Yeah, I kind of like that one. So we've had Start Me Up by the Stones. We've had, Monday, whatever comes from
right.
Fleetwood Mac. Yesterday we had Kickstart My Heart by Motley Crue.
Uh-huh.
And then this one today. We got one more tomorrow. What are we going to do tomorrow? We're going to do, because we have Friday. We have, what's the plan on Friday?
Well, I mean, Friday's Come a Chameleon.
Right.
So it's kind of like so today we need to make the decision, yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
You don't want to go with Manic Monday with the incredibly hot Susanna Hoff, huh?
You know.
Honey,
real close.
You didn't want to do
real
that one?
Close.
All right.
You have that one, Rogue?
All right.
Oh, Manic Monday, you don't have that? I'll do it for you.
Okay,
just
thank
you. Just another Manic Monday. Wish it were something, because that's my fun day.
Identical.
Yeah.
Identical.
That was better than the original.
That was better than the original.
Sounds just like Susanna Hoff.
All right, so can I throw that in as a late entry?
Yeah, sure.
May I?
Yeah, you're in charge.
All right, so since this is for the 6 a.m. listeners, right here off the top, we'll do the voting now.
Right.
Over the next, 30 minutes? Is that all right? All right, Fever's nodding.
All right.
So, over the next 30 minutes, we'll open up the RommelSlaw.com text line, 303-713-1043. You vote on the Monday morning song. Start Me Up by the Rolling Stones, mm-hmm. Kickstart My Heart by Motley Crue. What's the title, official title of the...
I don't know. The
Fleetwood Mac one?
Fleetwood Mac song?
I don't know. Got the Cage the Elephant song right there.
I think it's Monday Morning.
Monday
by
Morning
Fleetwood Mac.
By Fleetwood Mac. What's the title of this Cagey?
Ain't No Rest for the Wicked.
I like that one. And then we'll throw in Manic Monday.
You're progressive.
Progressive?
Progressive.
That's what I am, progressive.
A really progressive song.
So vote.
I'm surprised.
Vote. We'll tabulate the votes over the next half hour. This song is for you. 6 a.m. listeners, the best of the bunch.
Right.
So,
at it. I like this text. Karma Chameleon should be every day.
No. Then you lose the effect.
Yeah.
All right. I had a great... Did I start to hear something?
Oh, yeah. Come on.
Understand how this affects my childhood memories.
Oh, yeah.
My teenage memories.
Hell yeah.
You just gotta know.
Oh, I know.
You gotta know.
Oh, I know.
You have to know.
Yeah, wait. It's just another
manic Monday. I mean, you just got to know.
Yeah. This, you hear this song, you'll start walking like an Egyptian.
All right. So, vote 303-713-1043. Kind of a little different morning here. We're gonna do a morning brew coming up at 6:15. Greg Cosell of NFL Films. I respect the heck out of this guy when it comes to his evaluation of NFL players.
Why?
Why?
Yeah.
Because much like you, he puts in the work. He looks at the film. He grinds.
Okay, I was just asking.
I don't know. There was almost a little defensiveness there.
I love
Greg. Like, why do I respect Greg Cosell, implying that I don't respect you? Of course, I respect you.
No, I'm just saying that. I'm just wondering why. I mean, you don't know Greg from Adam.
I don't know Greg, but I've been following Greg for a long time.
Okay. I was just checking.
Yeah. Meow. Kitty's got claws. Holy smokes. What do you mean?
Meow.
So he's going to join us coming up at 6:30. Troy Rank will join us at 6:45. So there you go. Tonight, the Avalanche and Nuggets both play. Avs are in Minnesota to take on the Wild. Nuggets are in L.A. to take on the Clippers. Bringing you up to the moment standings for both teams. The Nuggets are currently in a dead heat with Minnesota for the best record in their division and the best record in the Western Conference. Both are 53-23. And can Stephen A. Smith come out now and once again have to backpedal off his anointed MVP candidate? Shai Gilgeous-Alexander sat out both games in Philly, in Boston. They lost both games. To me, you're disqualified.
Yeah.
You're disqualified.
You're out. It's over. Is there anybody else that Stephen A. could throw his, you know, throw his endorsement behind from his bully pulpit? Anybody else? Anyone? 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 Kenny?
The only other guy would be Anthony Edwards, right? If he makes the argument that Minnesota finishes ahead of the Nuggets. That's the only.
And Anthony Edwards came on the scene after Big Cat kind of went down with the injury. That's when we really started paying attention to him.
But boy, that would have to be really, really late speed from Anthony Edwards, because I don't think when he did his top five candidates earlier in the week, I don't think he even had Anthony Edwards in his top five.
Yeah.
So the Avalanche will be going into tonight's game. They got some work to do. Dallas is hot.
Mm-hmm.
Dallas Stars have won 8 in a row, and they have opened up a 5-point lead over the Avs. Avs do have one game in hand, but it's looking, certainly things could change, but it's looking like it's going to be Avs in Winnipeg in the first round with the Avalanche with home ice, which wouldn't be the worst thing to have a kind of locked in with a few games left.
Right.
Because then you could start resting some guys. You can give McKinnon a night off. You can give McCarr a night off. You can give Rantanen a night off.
Yeah, I don't know how much they do this in hockey, advanced scouting stuff. Like how much, I know they game plan and everything, but how much advanced scouting stuff there is. I know it's not like football, but it does give you a little bit of extra time also to prepare for the opponent you're going to play. And again, I don't know how in-depth hockey is with the, like hockey and basketball to me, they're not, I know they do it, but it's not like what we're used to in football from a game planning standpoint. So, but it still would be, it'd still be,
well, they do have one more game left with Winnipeg. Their third to last game of the season next Saturday. They'll be hosting Winnipeg. So that might be not only a chance to scout, or maybe both teams won't want to show too much. Again, things can still change. The Avalanche still have,
of course,
what, 3, 6, 7 games left, including one with Dallas, which will be a, as you all know, Mark, that's a key 4-point game right there.
Yeah, huge 4-point.
Morning Brew. A little earlier today, Morning Brew coming up next.
With an advanced network, cybersecurity solutions, and trusted partnership, Comcast Business powers more businesses than anyone. Comcast Business, powering possibilities.
Get started with internet and security for your small business for $49.99 a month for 12 months with a 2-year contract. Plus, ask how to get up to an $800 prepaid card with qualifying internet. Call today. Ends 5/5/24. Restrictions apply. New customers only with 50 megabits per second internet and security edge. Eco bill and auto pay required. Equipment, taxes, and fees extra.
It's time for your Morning Brew. Grab a cup of Joe and get caught up on everything you need to know. Here's Schlereth and Evans.
Do not be alarmed. We're doing the brew a little earlier since Greg Cosell from NFL Films is going to join us at 6:30. So here we go. The Rockies limp home after a 1-6 road trip to start the season. Although they did show signs of life, they had a 5-run eighth inning to tie the game up in Chicago last night, 8-8. But then they give up a shoddy, sloppy run in the bottom of the eighth.
It's not like them.
With wild
pitches. They can play great defense normally.
Strikes and that kind of thing. So they end up losing 9-8. Bud Black, ever the eternal optimist.
Hopefully that gives us some momentum going into the off day and then into our homestand. It was a tough trip, right? We didn't pitch great. We didn't swing the bats great. That was a good sign, though.
Oh, hello, darkness, my old friend. Boy, is that the most appropriate soundtrack for Bud. So, 1-6, although good news, Mark,
yeah.
KB. That's what they call him around the Rockies. Yeah. KB, Chris Bryant, first two hits of the season, now hitting a robust 100.
I saw his first hit. Laser show. Grounder through the five hole, right between third and seeing eye grounder. Really put the wood to it.
So we will suspend our pessimism and whatever negative thoughts we have about the Rockies for at least one day with opening day tomorrow. Hope always springs eternal on opening day. Going to be a beautiful day. So, hey.
Did our O's get another walk-off yesterday?
The O's got another walk-off.
Another walk-off by our O's, man.
Mm-hmm. Next on the Morning Brew. Nuggets and Az both in action tonight after being off. The Nuggets in L.A. to take on the Clippers. And the Avalanche in Minnesota to take on the Wild. Jared Bednar wants his team to maintain their focus coming down the stretch.
Well, I think it's a challenge every year. You know, like you get, it's kind of like that week before the trade deadline where guys' minds go to different places. Still quite a bit of hockey left to be played, in important hockey. So focusing on the immediate task at hand, tomorrow mini, next night Edmonton, sort of staying present in the moment.
At some point, we're going to have a real good idea of whether the Avs are going to be able to make a serious push for first place in the division. Because right now, they're 5 points behind Dallas. Do have a game in hand. The Avs do. But at some point, we're going to get to a point where, you know, catching Dallas might not be realistic, which might not be the worst thing, because then you can rest some key guys for what you hope will be a long playoff run.
Yeah, well, they got a bird in the bush.
They do have a bird in the bush.
Bird in the bush.
As you like to call these games in hand.
And it's a 4-point game. When they play them, right? Dallas?
Yeah. I guess you could also look at some of the importance of the games coming down the stretch. They do play Winnipeg. Although Winnipeg.
I just don't.
Winnipeg, to me, it's like, sign me up for Winnipeg. I think that'd be a tremendous first round matchup. Winnipeg with very little playoff. Yeah. History.
It's kind of what recently. You said about the Kraken last year.
I know.
Kraken got me nervous.
But
I'm still nervous about that Kraken matchup.
Winnipeg's not playing well. 4-5-1 in their last 10.
Remember when we had the Kraken guy on?
We should probably get him on and apologize.
Right.
1 year anniversary.
It was kind of, I mean, but you patronized somebody,
boy,
right?
Were we? We were like just patting him on the head. Oh, man,
you guys are cute.
Kraken. Yeah. Cute Kraken.
Let's just show back up in the league.
Yeah. Oh, what a nice
scary.
Story.
The Kraken are scary.
Ooh.
They're scary.
They just crush us. They can beat us. Next on the Morning Brew. Yeah, the Nuggets take it on the Clippers tonight. And we'll see if Jamal Murray plays, but.
You think he will?
At this point, why?
Yeah, I don't think he's going to play.
You already sent the clear message. You're getting him ready for the playoffs, so why would you still play him with 6-7 games left to go?
Yeah, doesn't make any sense.
The Clippers. Clippers are pretty set in that four hole, although they got to be careful because Dallas has been playing really well. They could end up having a Dallas or Phoenix overtake them. But where are you with the Clippers? As a threat,
I just don't see it. Obviously, they had that stretch like a couple months ago where they're playing really
really well.
But
they've been cool since the been basically a 500 team since the All-Star break.
Yeah, I'm not. They don't age, chemistry. I just don't. I don't sweat them. Come on, I mean, everybody says the same thing. I mean, even guys in the NBA, if the Nuggets are playing their five starters together, there's nobody better in the NBA than the Nuggets five starters together.
I suppose you have to still show a little veteran respect for them because they can, in theory, trot out Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, James Harden, and Russell Westbrook all at the same time.
Who guards Jokic?
That'd be Zubac. Zubac.
Oh, I used to have them Zubacs.
Avika Zubac.
When I was playing the Super Bowl for Washington, we went to that Zubac factory and wore those pants. Yes. What were those called? Zubas,
yeah,
right?
Those were
Zubac pants.
Was a regrettable.
No, it wasn't. It was awesome.
Regrettable.
We drove down on a Tuesday on our day off to the plant.
Uh huh.
And just walked through the plant and loaded up with Zubas.
It was
awesome. I got everybody an outfit. My parents got it. My mom, Zubac pants. Here you go. Everybody got an outfit.
It was a regrettable end of the 80s and not a strong start for the 90s.
No. Those pants were awesome. Zubas? That's all I wore.
That'll do it for the morning brew. Bring that to you each and every morning at 6:30.
Rogue and Johnny, do you guys know what Zubas are?
They do not know.
Zubac. Sweats?
Do you know what boombas are?
No, I don't know what boombas are. Probably a ripoff of Zubas. I would imagine. You guys don't do anything original. None of your guys' stuff is original. Remake movies, remake songs. Every song has some beat from the 80s. Like, all you guys do is rip. All you guys do is rip stuff off.
Boombas are like shoes for softball and baseball. And like you wear them.
Yeah, you're going with pants.
No, yeah, Zubas. Well, she didn't tell me what they were. She said, Boomba, Zumba. Let's make pants that look just like Zumbas. Or we call them Boombas. Yeah. All right.
Okay, so do you guys want to go through these songs real quick?
Oh, yeah, that's right. We want to have everybody have a clear idea. These are the nominees for the new 6 a.m. song to kick off Mondays. We've got, of course, Fridays, Carmen Chameleon, but we need our Monday song. So here are the nominees that you still have about another half hour to vote on. Here you go.
That is kind of a classic, right?
Mm-hmm. Timeless.
Yeah, it is.
Hear it every arena you go into. All right, that's that one. Start me up by the Stones.
The
right?
Stones.
Here we go.
Monday morning, you sure look fine.
I gotta like this.
This is my vote, by the way.
That's a good song. It is.
I'm not a big Fleetwood Mac fan, but this
you're
is,
not.
I'm not. But this
really,
is good.
I like Fleetwood
I've always
Mac.
Liked this one. All right, that's two. Next.
There ain't no rest for the wicked. There ain't no rest
for the wicked. Money don't grow on trees. I don't like that.
You do like that.
I don't like that.
That's my.
I don't like that.
That'd probably be my least favorite.
Okay. And then we quickly. That'll get you going. Monday morning.
Kickstart my heart.
Yeah.
And then finally we had the late write-in vote. Got it?
For this, but this is like by far my least favorite.
Oh, I don't doubt it, but you know, your childhood, your teenage years were not impacted like ours were by her.
Yeah,
so those are the nominees, and so you can vote at ramoslaw.com, text line 303-713-1043. We'll have a winner announced by 7 o'clock. Greg Cosell of NFL Films, who has some interesting things to say about his evaluation of these college quarterbacks, one of whom could be a Bronco. He joins us next.
It's Schlereth and Evans on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
They always say congratulations. Greg Cosell has been the senior producer at NFL Films for decades, also with the 33rd team. He's an FOS, a friend of Stink, and he joins us now. Greg, good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. What's happening?
We're just grinding away here trying to figure out what the Broncos are going to do. And I guess from your perspective, evaluating college quarterbacks, because for me it's a really hard thing. There are so many static formations It's so much spread. There's not a lot of progression type of throws. You know, it's, hey, pick out your one best matchup, throw to that guy. If he's not open, pull the ball, scramble around and make a play. There's just a lot of that that goes on in the college game that doesn't necessarily translate to what I watch on Sundays in the NFL. So how is your evaluation process? How do you go through this and how do you evaluate these guys?
Well, first of all, you have to understand that they're all prospects. You know, I think sometimes we forget and we talk about these guys as if they're finished products, and this is exactly what they are, and they're either great or they're not. And I think, you know, you need to understand that it's a process. I think you have to start with what you feel to be their traits and their attributes and their characteristics as a player. And then you think in terms of how that can transition and project to the league. And then you have to think in terms of what kind of system would best fit how they play. Because there are very few transcendent players. So much is dependent on coaching, system, how they're deployed, what they're asked to do. Are there certain non-negotiables? I mean, if a guy does not have very good ball location and he misses too many routine easy throws, that's not likely to change, and that would be a problem. If you feel watching tape, based on whatever offense he's running in college, that he's just not seeing things particularly well, because route concepts are route concepts. There's not 1,000 of them. So even in college, you see similar route concepts as you see in the league. If you feel that he's just not seeing things as quickly as he needs to or as clearly as he needs to based on the route concept versus a coverage, that's a hard thing to fix. If you feel like a quarterback, when he's under some kind of duress, flinches or breaks down too soon, that can often be a hard thing to fix. You have to try to find the balance between guys leaving the pocket and making plays versus staying in the pocket and allowing the offense to work. So, I mean, I could go on and on, but I think you get the idea that there's, and Stink knows this, that there's so many factors, which is why it's not an easy thing. And when all's said and done, no matter what the metrics are, no matter what the analytics say, it's still human beings evaluating human beings.
Greg Cosell from the NFL Films and also from the 33rd team, join us.
So from your perspective, and you've studied all these guys in-depthly, who's the guy that you look at that you think transitions the best to the next level?
I think that's a hard question to answer, because now you have to think about you know, how a guy could be used. Like, for instance, let's look at someone like Bo Nix, okay? Bo Nix is certainly not being talked about as among the top five. But when you watch Bo Nix's tape, and you can decide whatever you want about the Oregon offense, people might say, well, that's a college offense, whatever that means these days. But he played with a really high level of efficiency. He was a ball distributor. He was an executor of a pretty well-schemed college offense. He knew where to go with the football. He played with a relatively refined sense of timing and rhythm. He does not have a big arm. You know, he doesn't have a power arm, but he does have movement ability. So when you look at Bo Nix and then you look at Drake May, you'll immediately look at Drake May and say, well, Drake May 6'4", 225, which, by the way, is a trait. He's got a much bigger arm. He's probably a better athlete overall. He can make some throws that Nix can't make, but overall, the way he executed his offense in terms of efficiency, ball distribution, was not as consistently high level as Nix. So now you have to decide, what do you like better? You know, do you feel because May has quote-unquote better traits, depending on what your definition of traits are, that May's a better prospect, or is Nix a better prospect? You know, now you're getting into that, how coaches see things and how they see quarterbacks within the context of their system.
Visiting with Greg Cosell. So, Greg, knowing what you know of Sean Payton, which one of these prospects, your word, I love it, which one of your prospects do you think best fit who and what Sean Payton is and wants?
Well, you guys are obviously around Sean more than I am these days, and I've talked to Sean over the years, but I'm not going to say I know exactly what's in his head. it would seem to me, and certainly with what happened with Russell Wilson, who's not a naturally timing refined passer, that what Sean likes and what his experience has been at a high level with Drew Brees is he would like a quarterback that plays with a refined sense of timing and rhythm, that hits the back foot, knows where to go with the ball, and has precise ball location. It would seem to me that that's what he'd want. Now, again, if you're looking at that, you know, I mentioned Bo Nix for a reason. I don't know what he thinks of Bo Nix, but Bo Nix played that way in college. You know, I think that Michael Penix played that way in college. I mean, that's my sense. And again, I'm not breaking news here. I don't want people to think, well, Cosell says that Peyton should take Nix or Penix. I'm just trying to get a sense of, you know, having seen Sean Payton all through the years when he had Drew Brees, who's obviously a first ballot Hall of Famer, and you don't want to compare guys to first ballot Hall of Famers, but he played a certain way, and I think Sean wants his quarterback to play that way.
If we get to 12 and they decide not to take a quarterback, which, you know, I mean, they've got so many different needs they have to fill. So they decide, hey, all these quarterbacks got, you know, taken early. There's a lot of good football players that could fall to us. Who are some of the guys that you're looking at just from a football perspective that you say, this dude is a player?
Well, I think, as you know, Stink, it's good. It's a big offensive tackle draft. And again, you would know more about offensive line than I do, and I'm not going to presume that I'm an offensive line guru. I've been doing it for a lot of years. I talk to O-line coaches. Sometimes they tell me I know more than I think I do, but I wouldn't fancy myself as a guy who's, you know, an offensive line guru. But there's a ton of offensive tackles in this draft. They're all a little bit different. You know, you just have to figure out, and then you would be able to answer this better than I. When I watch offensive linemen, I always think to myself, what's coachable and what's not coachable? And, you know, sometimes I don't come up with a great answer for that. You know, sometimes I think, you know, if Bill Callahan was coaching, he could say, I could fix that in 2 weeks. Or he might say, that's not fixable. I don't know, you know, I don't always know the answer to that. But there's a lot of really good offensive tackle prospects in this draft class. I think it's a really deep receiver class. I'm not sure there'd be a receiver probably after the top three that I might take at 12, but it's a really deep receiver class. There are some edge players I really like. The kid I love, but I know he might even be off a team's board because of his medical, is Latu. I love Latu from UCLA, but my guess is there'll be 15 teams, and I don't know how the Broncos feel, there'll be 15 teams that don't even have him on their board because of his medicals.
Yeah, it's just a fascinating process, man. We appreciate the work you do. Appreciate you joining us, Greg. Always great to catch up, my friend.
I appreciate it, guys. Thanks so much.
You got it.
Greg Cosell from NFL Films, over 40 years with NFL Films, and also with the 33rd team. Great insight into a lot of these prospects. Troy Rank joins us coming up next.
You're listening to Schlereth and Evans on Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Troy Rank of the Denver Post joins us now on the Johnson Auto Plaza hotline for our weekly visit with Troy. Get a chance to chop some things up. Troy, how you doing? Good morning.
Doing fantastic, guys. How are you?
Doing great. Just enjoying Rockies baseball. They are really kicking ass.
He has no response.
He
doesn't want to play your silly games.
Oh, gosh. We got a double-A team here in Colorado. I love minor league baseball. Boy, this is it's bad, Troy. It's bad.
I mean, this is what happens when you can't pitch, you can't hit, and you make up for a lack of defense. I mean, you got to do something well to avoid being, like, historically bad out of the gate. And they're starting pitching. Every time you look at the matchups in every series, for the most part, they're going to be up against it because they're just miscast without Herman Marquez, without Senzatella. You know, I love Kyle Freeland, the way he competes. He's obviously not a one. I mean, he's probably a four or a five on most teams. And so you're up against him from a pitching standpoint. And then, you know, teams like that in the past with the Rockies, Mark, they'd hit, you know, and they clobber you and they beat bad pitching. They're not really capable of doing that. Now, they finally woke up a little bit in the loss last night. But, I mean, if they don't beat bad pitching at home, specifically fourth and fifth starters at home, I mean, there's no way in heck they're going to avoid 100 losses again. I mean, that's just the reality of it. But it's unfortunate that it's going to be this bad. I mean, you hate to see a season start like this because, you know, come May 15th, you're going to feel like, you know, you're 15, 18 games out. That's just a horrible place to be.
As both teams sit where they do right now, which one do you feel better about going into the playoffs, the Avs or Nuggets?
I still feel better about the Nuggets. And I say that with reservation because of two things. The West is going to be a lot harder. If the Nuggets win another title, and I think they certainly can, it's going to be, you know, they're going to go like 16-8. They're not going to go 16-4 this year and win a championship. The West is brutal. I mean, you're talking about teams you're going to have to play in the first round. You know, some of the best teams we thought in the league between the Lakers, Suns, Warriors are all in play-in tournaments. So it's going to be a much tougher gauntlet. And I'm concerned about where is the bench scoring going to come. I understand they shaved the minutes. You're going to see like seven guys play, maybe eight. But when Jamal Murray doesn't play, and he hasn't, what, six straight games, the second unit, they just don't have any obvious score. And that's something to keep an eye on. With the Avs, they're just not playing well right now. And now in hockey, you can turn it on a little easier because your goalie gets hot. You know, they can score with anyone. It's just, man, the losses to Columbus and Montreal were just, wow. I mean, it was just a little eye-opening given how well they played. So I feel a little better about the Nuggets than Avs, but hockey is so much different in that, you know, your goalie gets hot and it doesn't really matter kind of how the other guys are playing. I still feel a little better about the Nuggets. Both of them have a real chance to win it all. If you're asking me today, I'd give the Nuggets a better chance than the Avs to win it all.
And level of concern over Jamal Murray not playing the last six games.
I'm not concerned about that. You know, having been out there a couple times covering games, I mean, they're trying to do two things at once. It's really hard to accomplish, which is they're going for the one seed and trying to get guys rested and healthy. Those two are really counterintuitive. And I think they reached a point with Murray where you got to rest him. I mean, it makes no sense to have him playing and, you know, limping through the finish line and then start the playoffs. Like, what are you accomplishing? Obviously, we'd all love to see him have the one seed, given how well they play at home. I think they're 31-8 at home. Mark, I saw Murray after the game the other night. I'm not worried about it because I believe they're really just trying to manage it. It's not an issue of, oh, he's not going to be ready for the playoffs. I have no doubt at this point that he will be ready, and they just made the decision with him that we got to get him ready. And if we don't win we don't get the one seed, you know, you live with it because it doesn't matter if we get the one seed if he's not healthy going into the playoffs.
Visiting with Troy Rank. Troy, it almost seems too obvious, doesn't it, that everyone seems to think Bo Nix is coming to the Broncos, that they will not have the wherewithal or the ammunition to move up all the way. And so Nix is like the perfect guy just sitting there for the Broncos and Sean Payton at 12. Does it make that much sense, or does it just seem too obvious?
It does make sense if they stay at 12. My issue with Nix is that if you were looking at how you evaluate players, I mean, where's he ranked? I put a 30th, between like 30th and 40th best player in this draft class. I mean, you're overdrafting him at 12. I'm sorry, you are. I watched Bo play at Auburn. It's hard for me to get that out of my mind. I watched him get benched multiple times. He's a different quarterback in Oregon. I just don't know that I watch him, guys, and I see an NFL starter, a guy I trust. He's an NFL starter. That's not a guy I take in the top 15. A top 15 quarterback for me in like 3 years is a top 15 player at his position. I don't know that he's that. Now, with Sean Payton's system, the fit, could he be? Yeah. I mean, that's what you'd be betting on. I just feel like you'd overdraft him at 12. If that's what it comes down to, you can't move up, the board doesn't fall the way you want, and I've said if Jaden Daniels is there at 4, he's the guy I would move up for. He is the one guy, you know, because I just feel like Caleb Williams goes 1, and you got Drake May 2, Vikings try to move up and they get McCarthy, whatever the case is. If you have a chance for Jaden Daniels at 4, I would move up for him. I don't think that's likely given what it's going to take with the draft capital. But if you guys, as you're saying, if it's Bo Nix, I would at 12 move back, because if Nix and Penix don't go, around that 11, 12, 13 range, you know, if Vikings don't move up. So Vikings, Broncos, Raiders, who else is going to take them? And so I would move back, pick up a second round pick, and then try to take Bo Nix. If I'd rather, frankly, have Penix, but I would take one of them in the 20s than rather take either one of them at 12.
All right. Hey, Troy, man, we appreciate you, buddy. Have a great, well, it's almost weekend. Have a great weekend. We'll give you the rest of the day.
Well, I got to see you tomorrow out at home opener, Mark, with that optimism, that Ned Flanders optimism.
No, actually, unfortunately, I've got to make a trip to Idaho. I've got a speaking engagement, so dang it, I'm going to miss the Rockies season opener. But I continue to torture myself every night watching them.
Guys, I will tell you, I've been there. Mark in Idaho is like David Hasselhoff in Germany.
That is the line of the day right there. There you go. All right, Troy, thank you, pal. We appreciate it. Troy Rank of the Denver Post joining us on the Johnson Auto Plaza hotline. Four Down Territory's next.